Good evening. You're listening to KCSB News, your local community radio news program from the Santa Barbara area. I'm Matt Shemshoyan. Today is Monday, November 21, 2016. Your Santa Barbara weather forecast is calling for mostly clear skies overnight with lows in the upper 40s. Mostly sunny tomorrow with highs in the mid to upper 60s. Sunrise tomorrow is at 6:38 a.m. It's 64 degrees in Santa Barbara. In tonight's newscast, hundreds march down the state street in protest of the Dakota Access Pipeline. Students walk out to protest tuition hikes, and Vice Chancellor of UCSB addresses problems at this institution within a social context. But first, headlines from the U.S. and around the world. Remember, you're listening to KCSB-FM in Santa Barbara, 91.9. Stay tuned. Japan's Fukushima region is bracing for a tsunami after a 7.4 magnitude earthquake rocked the area devastated by an enormous earthquake and tsunami 5 years ago. According to the Washington Post, sirens were blaring, warning residents to evacuate to higher ground as authorities warned that a 10-foot high tidal wave could be approaching. Large aftershocks continue to hit. In the latest dispute over the Dakota Access Pipeline, police fired tear gas, rubber bullets, and water cannons at protesters in the below-freezing temperatures Sunday night in North Dakota. According to Democracy Now!, more than 100 protesters were injured when water protectors were trying to clear access to the public bridge that was closest to the main campsite. Police in Lompoc have shot and killed a man who was allegedly waving a large knife and threatening people inside a laundromat. Patrons called this morning to report that a man who appeared to be drunk was threatening and harassing people inside the business. When officers arrived, the man took off running. According to the Lompoc Record, officers initially lost sight of the man. When they found him, he allegedly waved the large knife toward officers, who shot the man. He was pronounced dead at the hospital. Those were the headlines from the U.S. and around the world. Up next, stories produced by our local reporters here at KCSB. This past Saturday, hundreds were in attendance as representatives of the Chumash, Hopi, and Lakota tribes helped lead a march against the Dakota Access Pipeline that went from the sunken gardens in downtown Santa Barbara all the way to Pershing Park. The pipeline has sparked a national debate about the treatment of indigenous people by the United States government. KCSB's Dominique Batista has the story.
Water is life!
As protesters gathered at the Sunken Gardens this Saturday for a peaceful protest against the building of the Dakota Access Pipeline, signs reading Water is Life and No DAPL were in abundance. As the rally began, various calls to action were made, including calling the White House and expressing dissatisfaction with the building of the pipeline, which has been garnering national attention as a violation not only of the U.S. treaty with the indigenous people not to intrude on their reservations, but also a violation of their civil rights. The issue has sparked outcry from various groups and even caused the largest gathering of different indigenous tribes in over 100 years. As the protest was ready to begin, dancers wearing traditional garments and playing percussive instruments began to dance and lead the crowd in march. I spoke to a few of the protesters to ask them what this rally meant personally to them.
Life has been really focused around trying to unite people of different backgrounds, and this is just a classic example of something that should not be happening in a day like today, in a time like now. So it's important to me and everyone that I know to try and come together and prevent injustices like this from happening in our own country.
Well, it means it's an opportunity in our city to be standing with people far away who are fighting for the same thing that we're fighting for, which is to safeguard our water. I'm here because I'm for Standing Rock, and I have 6 grandchildren that I am concerned about their future. And so I'm just happy to have the opportunity to join others in my community in solidarity.
This means to me that the Santa Barbara community of all ages, all races, and all different cultures is uniting to protect our waters. We've had enough of the waters being polluted, being destroyed. We know that here very personally, and so we all have to stand together because we are water. Water is life.
Two of the organizers of the event spoke to me about the process of organizing this rally and the massive support they received almost immediately.
Really, really, the community supported us. The community came together. We were reached out to by the Standing Rock Coalition. We were reached out to by some other organizations, and the dancers, everybody came together. It was pretty incredible to see how wide it spread and pretty quickly, so I feel pretty blessed for that.
There was immediately a lot of support because people across our country and even all around the world are supporting Standing Rock right now, so it was easy to get the people. As far as organizing, there's so many amazing people in Santa Barbara that are willing to just step in and help, and it was for a great cause. So it was a remarkable experience organizing this. It really showed me unity and real support. It was really great.
Along with the details of setting up the rally, organizers B.B. Barnett and Leanna Garcia also detailed other ways of getting involved.
Calling the White House, calling the representative, that's a very huge movement. Santa Barbara recently passed a resolution calling for a full environmental review. That can be done in other cities as well. There's a bunch of cities that have already passed those resolutions, but we can keep that movement going. Unity, spreading awareness is huge. Sending donations out to them. They need blankets. It's winter's coming. It's about to get cold out there. They really need heat. They need warmth. They need those water bottles, blankets, sleeping bags, like, you know, we gotta keep them safe. This is a beautiful and powerful thing today. Unity is so powerful. The more awareness we can bring, I'm shocked. A lot of the people I surround myself with know about this. I'm shocked to see that there's people out there that don't know. So the best thing we can do, more lines, more hands on the front line, more people uniting. So that's the biggest thing right now. One of the largest things we can do is spread awareness. So
you can get involved. You just got to do your research, find out where you can donate, because people at Standing Rock right now need donations. It's freezing over there, and they're in camps, so they need a lot of supplies. When you can do your research and look into where the right places to donate are at, and also share the stories on social media, because that's the first way I've heard about this was through social media. I don't watch TV, I don't have the news. I would have never heard about this if it wasn't for sharing, and I've been constantly sharing and put this together. So the more people you talk about it with, the more people will want to get involved, and that's doing your part right there.
What started off as a violation of a treaty by the U.S. has evolved into a debate about the rights of indigenous people and the overall lack of attention given to abuse of native rights. For KCSB News, I'm Dominique Bautista.
The Reverend Julia Hamilton, lead minister of the Unitarian Society of Santa Barbara, went to Standing Rock to survey the situation for herself. She told KCSB's Lisa Osborne what she witnessed while she was there. For 4 days, she lived among hundreds of demonstrators who have camped out to try to keep an oil pipeline from being constructed on their land.
I was part of a call that went out to clergy around the nation to come and bear witness, to pray with, to stand in solidarity with the elders at Standing Rock. And there were over 500 of us that answered the call. It was one of the most moving things I've ever seen. I camped at the camp for 3 nights, And what I witnessed was a movement that's so much larger than just a pipeline. It's grounded in prayer. It's grounded in peaceful solidarity with the earth and with all peoples. We came together as clergy not to convert or to preach, but to be in solidarity, to say that it doesn't matter what faith tradition you're coming from. We all have an obligation to each other, to stand with each other, to talk about the way that we need each other if we're going to survive. And we need to be with the people at Standing Rock as they exert their own right to self-determination and survival.
What is the mood out there? Some of them have been out there for months, hundreds of people.
The sacred fire has been burning since April. So that's literally, there's a fire that's at the heart of the camp that has been burning continuously since April. The mood is, I would say, serious. There's a seriousness of purpose. There is a focus and a determination and a bravery that is palpable when you first walk into camp. It's hard because it's not clear where this is all going to end up. You know, the path forward changes, it seems like, day to day based on the response of the government, based on the response of the Army Corps of Engineers. It seems like maybe there's a window right now with the Army Corps of Engineers halting forward progress on the pipeline until they can do some reevaluation. So there's a little bit of hope that part of that reevaluation will be taking another look at the environmental impact, taking a look at the sacred sites that are, you know, threatened or already have been destroyed. But, you know, the pipeline was originally proposed to go north of Bismarck, and it was deemed that that was too risky because of the population center of Bismarck. So we've done what we always do, which is offload the environmental risk onto reservations, onto indigenous communities, and we just can't allow that to happen anymore.
What about law enforcement activity out there? Are you seeing any of that, or are they just watching?
Oh, no, they're not just watching. They're tear gassing and shooting people with bean bags and arresting people continuously. So when I was out there, I witnessed one action at the river where there's a hill on the other side of a small tributary of the Cannonball River right before it runs into the Missouri. And there are sacred sites on the hill across the water. And the water protectors are lined up on one side of the river, and there's people in the water moving across, and there's the police lined up in their militarized gear on the other side. And the disproportionate response is stunning. You know, you're talking about people who are posing no physical threat, who are getting tear gassed, who I watched get tear gassed, who I watched, you know, people getting shot at that action with beanbag bullets. It makes it sound so much nicer than it actually is. I mean, they can break ribs and cause real damage. And, you know, people would get arrested. The week before, I met a lot of folks who were still dealing with the aftermath of the clearing out of one of the camps, the treaty camp. And people would get sprayed with pepper spray and then arrested and handcuffed and thrown into a van with no chance to get first aid. People treated just with a roughness that was completely unnecessary, that seemed really punitive. So it's tense right now. But they're very clear, the elders on the camp and the people in the movement are really clear. They're not against the people who are the police. They're against the pipeline and the actions that are going on. They hold the police in their prayers. They constantly remind everyone that the police are human beings too, and we're protecting the water for everyone. You know, they want to appeal to the humanity of law enforcement and make sure it doesn't get set up as a us against them sort of situation.
Thanks for taking the time. What can our listeners in Santa Barbara do most to be most effective if we want to help the cause?
Call the Army Corps of Engineers, call the White House, call, you know, you can go online and find numbers and lists of people to call, but we have seen where a great public outcry can make a real difference, and right now is the time when we can make a difference, because once the pipeline goes under the river, the decision's made, and it hasn't gotten that far yet, so this is the time to apply tremendous public pressure to say we will not allow this kind of environmental destruction, this kind of disregard for indigenous rights to pass.
That's Julia Hamilton, lead minister of the Unitarian Society of Santa Barbara. KCSB will air a one-hour special on the Santa Barbara Standing Rock Rally Thursday night at 6 p.m. on KCSB. Two protests occurred here at the UC Santa Barbara campus, one against tuition hikes, the other against the Dakota Access Pipeline. KCSB's Nkechi Ikem has more on the story.
Thank you so much for coming, for everyone who came out today. You guys, every single one of you has a voice that really, really deserves to be heard, especially right now. So thank you for taking your time out of your day, out of your class, out of work to be here. We really, really appreciate it.
That was fourth-year UC Santa Barbara student and member of the Student Activist Network, Veronica Manduano, speaking to students frustrated with a potential tuition increase due at the end of the 2016 year. In 2014, tuition increases were proposed but were tabled for 2 years due to student protests across the UCs. Now, the tuition freeze is moving toward its end as the 2016 year finishes up. This afternoon, students gathered at Stork Tower to voice their concerns. Here are clips of the attendants that got up and spoke about their own worries. The first speaker was Katia McLean, a professor of Germanic and Slavic studies here at UC Santa Barbara.
So glad to see you out, although so sad that we have to be out again. I'm Katia McLean. I am actually a third-generation activist for social justice and a lecturer here at UCSB. I'm speaking on behalf of the Executive Board of Local 2141 of the University Council of the American Federation of Teachers, our union that represents librarians and lecturers here at UC. We strongly support the students of UC who demand that the regents roll back their fees. In fact, we urge the regents to uphold their obligation to the California Master Plan of 1960, which declared that the traditional policy of nearly a century of tuition-free higher education is in the best interest of the state and should be continued, 1960. When one of the current UC regents, George Kiefer, graduated from UCSB in 1969, student fees were $334 per year. It is outrageous that while technically tuition-free, the fees for a resident undergraduate at UCSB this year will be nearly $14,000. It is outrageous that the cost of housing is so high that some students are living in their cars.
Shame!
It is outrageous that, according to the survey done this summer, 1 in 15 students have skipped meals for lack of money. And that our associated students had to establish a food pantry so that some students can eat.
Next, Hannah Rose Huska, a third-year student and RA, spoke about being inspired to fight against tuition hikes by a dream she had, which featured prominent trans women. She said those women who fought all barriers push her to continue fighting against student tuition hikes.
Last night, in my dream, I was walking in the garden with many mentors, idols, people of strength. So many beautiful trans women. Marsha P. Johnson, Sylvia Rivera, Zoraida Reyes, just to name a few. These women were powerful beyond belief, undocumented, black, trans, poor, ashamed. And yet with every breath, they breathed justice until their last. I still had so much love to ask them when they began to move away, leaving flowers where their feet stood strong. I woke up crying, knowing that I would never get to meet them, thank them, follow them. Today I'm here to speak about food and housing insecurity. So why are Marsha P. and Sylvia Rivera relevant? Because throughout their struggle for trans and queer liberation, they were houseless and hungry, using the funds they had for exorbitantly priced AIDS medication and for supporting the movement. So I look at myself, white and queer, privileged to be at a university, and non-binary and trans, and here and loud and proud, but also scared. I look at myself and wonder how I can best help the movement and not take up too much space. And the response makes sense. The response that makes sense, feed the movement. Help find the movement a home. Center those who need it most. Some of the loudest voices could be those who have never been allowed to speak.
Justin, a member of the Student Activist Network and also a student at UC Santa Barbara, spoke of the lack of accountability from the UC regents due to their status as being unelected officials.
Hey everybody, so I'm really happy to see so many committed, passionate, and just enraged young activists out here today. It's amazing, and you're all out here to fight tuition hikes, something that disproportionately affects poor and low-income students here at the University of California. And as a diverse public institution in the state of California, we can't let that happen. So, now, let me ask you a question. Do any of you know who the people are who are making these decisions to raise tuition hikes? Can any of you name one name?
The Teagues!
Yeah, the Regents. And who are the Regents? The Regents are an unelected, appointed group of people who don't serve our interests because they are appointed. How are they going to serve our interests when we can't even hold them accountable? We can't! And that's why we need to institute reform. Come out here and do their jobs for them. The students have to come out here and do the jobs of officials making six-figure salaries. Is that justice? Is that equitable? It's not. And we, the students of UC Santa Barbara, are out here today to fight for the people affected by these policies. For every UC student who goes hungry every night because they can't accommodate the burden of their tuition. That's why we're out here walking.
The UC Regents have not yet decided on whether to move ahead with tuition increases just yet. Additionally, outside of the Wells Fargo Bank in Isla Vista, there was a protest against the Dakota Access Pipeline. Wells Fargo is an investor in the Dakota Access Pipeline. For KCSB, I'm Nkechi Kem.
Margaret Clawoon, the Vice Chancellor of Student Affairs at UCSB, addresses the institutional problems many students on campus face. KCSB's Kendra Lee has more on the story.
Under the UCSB Division of Student Affairs, part of a year-long series called Resilient Love in a Time of Hate, Margaret Clawoon, Vice Chancellor of Student Affairs, held a talk called Can We Teach to Transgress? She addresses the issue of looking at education as freedom, where educators can use the classroom as a space to teach people to think past institutions and create change in their communities.
So what I was trying to think about is ways that bell hooks formulated a pedagogy that would teach to transgress in terms of a classroom practice and how we could apply that to the campus. So what happens if we take our roles as a campus, which is certainly where I am as an administrator who is responsible for the whole campus and the well-being of the students across the campus, what happens if I look at my role in that capacity as being an educator who is encouraging students to be part of a participatory practice with me in terms of their education, where we really are thinking about the connection of their learning to their need to learn how to live and their desire to use their education to learn how to live. So what would that look like, especially if we're encouraging the kind of questions about identity and the questions about pushing up against structures and dominant discourse? What is it, how do we do that as a campus?
Margaret goes on to grapple with the idea of inviting education that creates change, change that contradicts the way our academic institutions are currently operating.
As somebody who's responsible for, quote, managing the campus, it's kind of a risky proposition because you are, in the definition of what Hooks posits, inviting something that will, at some point, at the heart of its very nature, transgress those policies that you are putting in place and responsible for enforcing. So it's really a moment about how do we understand all of that mix and encourage the activism that's a really important part of students making change. So some of what the talk was also about is why it's so essential that our college campuses do transform, and the only way that's going to happen is in this uneasy tension, uneasy for somebody who sits in my role, not for a student or perhaps for many faculty.
Margaret argues that activism around race relations has been strong on university campuses, but also perceived inaccurately by the media. She believes this to be an incentive for UCSB and other universities to look at how their structures can be adjusted to work on fixing these social issues.
So one of the things that I was really interested in over the last couple of years is there was a lot of sort of looking at a trend that was developing on college campuses around really loaded or explosive issues around race. And so they were getting a lot of media play in a very particular way. So I was interested in analyzing that perception and ways that the media was perhaps trying to present students' activism in a particular way and what was really happening. And the moment only seems that much more urgent for saying that our institutions need to transform in order to meet the needs of all of the students that we're bringing to campus, which is a mission here at UC Santa Barbara that I'm particularly proud of. So if we're going to say we want a really diverse student body, we want a lot of first-gen students, we want a lot of students who have high financial need, we want a lot of students who are underrepresented minority students, and we're bringing them here and we want them to succeed academically because they're incredibly talented students, then we've got to be willing to look at this. And I think as the tensions have gotten more loaded around the presidential election, it's really clear as a nation that we are not addressing these questions very well, and that the ways that we might do this work are going to become really essential, and also our ability to analyze the way the structures in place can be pushed. I am, if there's one thing that really encourages me, it's the intelligence and the heart and the capability of our students. So for in the moments where they're being more transgressive or less transgressive, I look forward to all of it, and it gives me hope.
That was Margaret Clawoon, Vice Chancellor of Student Affairs at UCSB, recapping her talk, Can We Teach to Transgress? I also spoke with a member of the audience to find out how she felt about the talk. Elizabeth Robinson, radio host of public affairs program No Alibis and former host of Third World News Review, attended the talk. She expresses her sentiment over what she believed to be an honest acknowledgement of social and racial issues this campus faces.
Well, it was a fairly stunning talk to me after being on and around this campus since the early 1980s, because it was an explicit grappling with the realities of racial and ethnic and other sorts of marginalized realities that I have never seen engaged so directly. And it was research-based, so it wasn't just anecdotal. And that was very striking to me. I think in the past, there has been a recognition of and an adhering to notions of First Amendment rights, which is a good thing. But I think part of what the Vice Chancellor was pointing to was that, free speech aside, there are ways in which the life of the university community is wanting, can be improved, and is different for different groups of people. So usually, in my experience, there's always been a waiting for there to be an incident and then trying to back away from the incident or trying to correct it. And this was the opposite of that. It was a defining of the university's role as having some moral rudders, for lack of a better expression, that, you know, some things just shouldn't be allowed to exist if they can be corrected, and that the university has a responsibility to look for the ways to correct them. So I was just really pleased with her remarks, a little bit stunned by it. They were, I want to say they were uncautious, but they weren't in any way kind of spontaneous, off the cuff. It was a really careful reading of the social context of the university and what we need to do to make it a better place. And thereby, I think, as well, to make the world a better place.
That was Elizabeth Robinson, host of No Alibis and Third World News Review, responding to Margaret Clawoon's talk, Can We Teach to Transgress? Reporting for KCSB, I'm Kendra Lee.
That was KCSB's Kendra Lee speaking with radio host Elizabeth Robinson and Vice Chancellor of Student Affairs at UCSB, Margaret Clawoon, in response to a lecture at UCSB. The talk, called Can We Teach to Transgress, is a part of a UCSB Division of Student Affairs series called Resilient Love in a Time of Hate. KCSB will keep you informed on this series. You have been listening to KCSB News, your local community radio news program produced by listeners just like you in the Santa Barbara area. KCSB News can be heard on air weekdays at 5 p.m. You can find us on Facebook and SoundCloud under KCSB News and on Twitter at NewsKCSB. To hear past KCSB News segments on the go, search for our podcast on iTunes under KCSB. KCSB is owned and operated by the Associated Students of UCSB. Our opening theme music is Griot, song by Nation Beat. Tonight's newscast was produced by Nkechi Ikem and engineered by Kendra Lee. Our news writers and editors for tonight are Dominique Batista, Lisa Osborne, Kendra Lee, and Nkechi Ikem. I'm Matt Shemshoin. Thanks for tuning in to our newscast tonight, but don't go away. Africa Link is coming up next.